and how many excuses he tried to make before God did what he was going to do. And we've been talking about keeping Jesus close in 2016. We've been talking about the summer. There's two things I've been kind of just praying that everyone kind of write down and pray about it. Is that God, as Pete was talking about, substance over style. God wants us to be people of substance. You know, the days of playing church, the days of going through the motions, the days of making people think that everything is okay and you're not living that the word of God in your life, I really believe that those days are coming to an end. You know, the Bible says that he would separate the sheep from the goat. As life becomes more and more chaotic, and the world, I don't know if you've noticed, if you watch the news, the world is getting more and more chaotic. And it's going to continue to get more and more chaotic, because that's what the Bible says will happen. Things will continue to get more and more chaotic. But one thing is going to be evident through this chaos is that people of substance will rise up. And I really believe God's preparing us for stuff like that. And when things come to pass, the church, you know, many times when there's natural disasters, like in New Orleans and in different areas, the government would be confused and disorganized. And the people that would come in are the churches to come in and feed and help. And they were always much more efficient. And I believe as things become more and more chaotic, people of substance are going to rise up and care for people. And that's, I believe, what, as Pastor Green was nearing his retirement to pastoring the church, one thing he left and he prayed, and we prayed as leaders in the church, is what our name of our new church would be, of the church, the name, we're going to rename it. And I believe he left us a beautiful name that goes exactly with the times. What this world needs is people that have hope and can point people to the true hope. And his name is Jesus. And his name is Jesus. And I believe we're being prepared. And many times pastor will worry about, oh, how many come to this, how many come to that, and how many people are there. And because if there's not people, then there's nothing. There's no none of that in God's eyes really matters. Remember, he only had 12, right? And he changed the world. It's so important as leaders and as pastors and as God develops you in your ministry and as you grow that you don't see with your eyes, the physical eyes. You see with your heart what God is doing to the people around you. And that's what's important. So people of substance this summer, be a person of substance and set things right in your life. It's so important that you set things right this summer. I don't know what it was. I didn't even plan to preach that sermon, but it just came, and it hasn't left me, and I'm going to keep repeating it the rest of the few weeks we have in this summer, and that is to set things right according to God's word. You know, God is looking to and fro to bless his people, but one thing about God is that he's a just God, and he can't go against his own word, his own righteousness. He can't bless sin. Amen? Amen? And so that's why. Now, that doesn't mean because you told a little lie here, white lie here, and oh, that's not the. Every one of us is a sinner. But the reason that God is blessing us, or he can pour his Holy Spirit through this sinful temple, your temple, the reason why that happens is not because you're perfect or sinless, but it's because you're willing to be perfected. And it's about the attitude of your heart. So don't take every little thing you do wrong and say, oh, I must be, oh, I'm just never going to get blessed by God. That's the enemy trying to make us think that God is looking at us with a hammer, waiting for us to mess up so he can whack us over the head. I love the songs Michelle picked this morning because the opposite is so true. He loves us. And he's not with a hammer waiting for you to make a mistake to hit you over the head. He's more with his open arms receiving you and will empower you to overcome sin in the world. But at the same time, we must have a heart to set things right. Not making excuses for things that don't line up with God's word. You know, the thing that the world just considers, oh, normal, and the Bible clearly tells us it's wrong. We need to set those things up, and we need to teach our children what the Bible says about marriage, about how to live right and do right, and how to be a man of your word or a woman of your word, that when you say you'll do something, you follow through, how you honor authority, policemen, teachers. All of that is biblical and right. So continue to do that. Set things right. People of substance. That's what we've been talking about. And as we read last week about Moses, he was intimidated. He was intimidated by his weaknesses. He really, really was. He was telling God, no, not me. I stutter. I don't speak well. And he just kept throwing them out there. And God was not intimidated. And in Deuteronomy, if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 1. So God's not intimidated with our weaknesses, so it is for every one of us. God has made you a masterpiece equipped to accomplish His kingdom plan for your life. You know that God's made you a masterpiece. That's a beautiful thought. Amen. The only question that remains is the same question Moses had. And it was this: will you surrender all? Moses had to decide in that burning bush. Will you surrender all and go and answer the calling God has for your life? It's human nature to doubt and to fear. I don't know if you noticed that. We're afraid. We're afraid of what the future holds. We're afraid, but the Bible clearly tells us God has not given us that spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. It's human nature to be afraid, but it's God's nature to turn what's dead alive. Amen? You may think, I don't know about this relationship. It looks like it's dying. Or I don't know about this. It looks like there's nothing there. God is in the business of turning what seems dead to life. That's exciting. Who is alive in spirit this morning? Anybody? Amen. Got a few people alive. All right, good. Praise the Lord. And I did find my notes, so we're good. And we're alive. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 1. So you're not getting out early. I guess that's what that meant. Deuteronomy 1. Okay, so Moses is nearing the end of his life. And you know the people are so dependent on him, but life goes on. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. And also the Lord has said unto me that thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Of the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee. And thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord has said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did in Sihon and unto Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Verse 6. Be strong. This is Moses talking. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor will he forsake thee. You know, there's another version that says he will never leave me or forsake me. Never leave you or forsake you. Now, this is the same Moses, and let me read verse 7. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto thy fathers to give them, and shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, nor fear not, neither be dismayed. You know what I love about Moses? He got it. After the burning bush, and I can't speak, I stutter. Then he saw God do everything, and he got it. You know what's so amazing about Moses? He, instead of throwing a pity party like humans sometimes do and say, Lord, I did all the work, and I don't get to see the promised land. That's not fair. You know, human nature will do that, won't it? I did all that work. Lord, don't I get to see it? You know, there's a lot of people that's gone before us that have passed away that worked a lot harder than we did, and they don't get to see what you see. Amen? See, the kingdom of God is not about us and what we see. The kingdom of God is one soul at a time, coming to Jesus and saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's worth it all. That's all we need to see. Now, if we get to see more, that's great, that's awesome. Well, we get to see God do amazing things, that's great. But Moses got it. He didn't throw a pity party. I'm old now, I can't even move. And I'm going to hand this off to Joshua. And instead of saying, oh, Lord, why me? I don't get to see this promised land. I wanted to see the land flowing with milk and honey. I want it. And he didn't do any of that. Instead, he turned to Joshua and with enthusiasm and with perspective and with godly character says, you will lead them to the promised land. And he didn't have a selfish bone in his body. It just wasn't his. Time to see it wasn't. But don't worry, when we get to heaven, we're not even going to worry about this earth, what we see here. Amen? Amen? Keep it in perspective. And Moses did. And the Lord, verse 8, and the Lord, he is that the goal. He's going to go with thee before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. So Moses was just cheerleading him on and telling him, trust me, God has chosen you. You're the one. God is with you. And that's the title of the sermon. God is with you. He's with you. He's with you. He's so with you. And Moses, the same Moses that said, Lord, I'm of slow speech. Are you sure you got the right man? Is now speaking to Joshua, getting the big picture of the kingdom. And he's telling him, don't fear God. I saw him do amazing works, and you're going to do it. You're going to lead. And Moses, he started afraid, but he ended in peace and confident in who he was in Christ Jesus. Oh, Moses had his limitations, his weaknesses, I mean, just like every one of us. But he saw it. He got it. He got the kingdom. He got the big picture. The big picture is not what I get tomorrow, that I'm always happy. And yes, we want to be happy and joy. But God promises joy and peace to his people. But the journey is a journey. And there's trials. But the purposes of those trials is to perfect you, to get you to the promised land. And that's where we're headed. And God is with you. God is with you. Now, if you don't write anything down, you write that one down today. God is with you. He's so with you. He started afraid and he ended with peace and power. And so it is with all of us. We may have started afraid about God's calling in our life, about what all this means. But like Moses, enjoy the journey, because God's people will live in peace that passes understanding. What Moses learned about above everything is that his heavenly Father was with him and never forsook him. He knew that. And when he was telling Joshua, that's exactly what he told him. I'm not telling you from theory, I'm telling you from experience. God is with you. And now, this is the Old Testament, and we know as Jesus came into the earth, Jesus didn't come to break the law apart. See, the purpose of the law of Moses was to point people to righteousness. The law, though we may not always understand all the Old Testament laws and all that stuff, Jesus came to fulfill the law, and Jesus has the same purpose to bring right. See, the law was to reveal righteousness and point people to right living. And Jesus now points people to right living. He's righteousness. If you turn to Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. This wasn't just an Old Testament thought that God the Father was with them. In the New Testament, Jesus tells us the same thing. So don't rest assured that the God who was with Moses is the same God who is with us. And Jesus says in Matthew 28:20, he says, "Teach people and observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." So Jesus said to them, teach the people what I've taught you here. Love, care, wash each other's feet, care for each other, and forgive, and don't judge. You know, everything he preached. The Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, and everything is just, they're just beautiful. His words. He says, everything I taught you, I've commanded you. And lo, he says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. When Jesus appears to his disciples after his resurrection, he left them with these words, I am with you always. He's with us. God is with us. God is with us. We're just so blessed to have been chosen to have our eyes open to see that God, he's so real. He's so good. And I love that statement that Jesus told Thomas, great for you because you believe and you saw my nail-pierced hands, but more blessed are they that will believe that will not see me. Amen. So I consider myself more blessed because that's us. Amen. We just know because the Holy Spirit has revealed it to us. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, if you'll turn there, Hebrews 13, verse 6. There's a lot of life in God's Word. A lot of life. It's just so important to read it and so important. You know, sometimes we get a little bit confused as we read the Old Testament versus the New Testament. And I always tell new believers that want to learn some stuff about how to live their life. You don't learn how to live your life by reading the Old Testament so much. You learn in the New Testament because Jesus fulfilled the law and he set things in order. He's righteousness. He is forgiveness. And so I always encourage people to read the New Testament as they want to learn about Christian living. And always reading one of the Gospels and then Acts and Romans. I mean, those are just perfect books to start. So I don't know who that was for, but maybe you really want to start reading the Bible and just ask me, text me. I will give you what I think where you should start. And just pray. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. That's interesting, isn't it? We can get into that, but we won't today. But you never know that person that you're being nice to. You never know. The Bible says they could be an angel, and you don't know. And we would never know. But it's not about knowing, right? Because some people want to tell people they saw angels because they want people to think that they're holy. Because angels only show up to holy people. Did you know that? No, I'm just kidding. You see, and I like what Pastor Green says. Somebody told him one time, oh, an angel appeared to me. What did he say? Oh, nothing. Well, what did he show up for? He didn't say anything? So Brother Green's theory was that if the angel showed up, he would say something. Because he's the messenger. Right? Angels don't show up just so that you can tell people they showed up and people think that you must be holy. Right? So there, take that for what it's worth. So if you think you see an angel, make sure you ask him what he came to say. Or else we're not sure about that. Hebrews 13, verse 1. And be nice to people. Love people. You never know who you're entertaining. Remember them that are in bonds as bond with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourself also in the body. Again, the Bible over and over, when you start reading it, it always brings us back to caring for people, loving people. When somebody hurts, you hurt. When somebody, it says there in verse 3, is suffering adversity, it's like yourself, because we're one body. And as Nelda's family is going through this with their father, you know, pray for them. If you have their number or their contact them, just do what you can to care for people, because that's what God has asked us to do. And it says in verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Be content. You know, we love to compare ourselves to other people. Oh, I have this, they have that. And then we get uncontent because we don't have what others have. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible says, be content for what you have. You see, we all have different things. And he says, why should you be content? And he answers it this way, because I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You see, when it comes back to the kingdom of God, if God is with you, what else do you need? Amen? Amen. There's people in this world that have so much material things. They're billionaires or millionaires, and they do not have what you have. Amen. Peace. To know that you've been changed. That your old sinful nature is dead and buried, and you're living a new life in Christ Jesus. They can't buy that. But he's with us, and he loves us. Let your conversations be without covetousness. In other words, don't be envious of others. Be content, because Jesus is with us. So that we may boldly say, I like this here, because it says all of this. It says, make sure your marriage is honorable. That's why we need to teach our parents, you know, intimacy outside of marriage is a sin. It's what the Bible says. And we need to teach that to our children. We need to live by that. Amen? These are the things that the Holy Spirit will convict us to set them right. And I believe, and it's just so interesting that as it's talking about love and care for each other in verse 1, 2, and 3, and then it talks about marriage being an honorable thing and to do it God's way. And then it says, let your conversations be without envy, covetousness. And then it says, all of this, as you do it, it brings a purpose. Because when you start setting things right in your life, not perfect, but you begin to be willing to be perfected, to set things right, those things that you know are wrong, taking them to Jesus, asking the power of the Holy Spirit to give you strength to overcome. When you begin to do that, then you can proclaim boldly that the Lord is your helper. You see, the opposite is true. And I think we should take a moment. You know, God loves us. God has a plan for us. God, but the opposite is true. And the opposite is this. If we are not trying to set these things right in our lives, then we won't be coming boldly saying, God, Jesus is my helper. The Lord is my helper. You see, I went through a moment in my life when things were crashing down around me, when I was so disappointed in myself, because I was a believer helping Pastor Green in the church. I thought I was right in the sense that I understood his word, and no matter what came, I knew I could trust Jesus. I thought, but when I hit this situation in my life that was hard, and I didn't know exactly how things were going to turn out. We've all been there. I just felt like jello. I felt like You know, I know all the scriptures, standing on a solid foundation. And I, for one of the first times of my life, from the time that I surrendered my life to God, I felt like jello, like there's no substance underneath me. Because you get a point in your journey in Christ Jesus when you need to decide to keep growing. Amen? All of us, you get saved, that's exciting. God forgive. Wow, what was that? God, I feel at peace. I feel clean. God forgave me. And then you grow. And then you begin to understand the Spirit of God in your life and how there's power in that. And then you begin to grow. And there came, I had passed those kind of phases, but then there becomes a point where I was just going through the motions and things were great. But God was like, you know, I surrendered most of it, but not all of it. And I remember being in my home, in my closet, and I remember feeling like there was no solid foundation under my feet. And I remember being on my knees and praying, and this thought came. Because I just didn't know how it was going to turn out. It could have gone bad. And I remember thinking this thought. Well, first God spoke to me, not audibly, but sometimes you just know, right? God speaking to you, and you just know it. And it was just like, I don't want 90% of you. I've shared this with some of you. He said, I don't want 90%. I don't want you to style. I don't want style. I want awe. Surrender awe. Wow. Well, Lord, everybody in church knows that I'm awesome. That was probably part of the problem. Style. It was all style. And if we're going to continue this growing in Him, at some point we get to that point where, yeah, I know how now to smile in church and everything is great. But God wants us to be real. Real. And so I got there and I heard God say, okay, 90% is not going to do it. I need to surrender all. And all of a sudden I got this thought, because I was still very concerned about what was about to happen. And all of a sudden, I felt, if I surrender all of it, and I kind of knew what that meant in my mind, some things I'd had to set straight, then I don't have to worry about the outcome. It just hit me. If I surrender all my life to God, I don't have to worry about the outcomes. Even if they're outcomes I don't want, God, it's your kingdom, not mine. All of a sudden, this what we just read, then you can say boldly, the Lord is my helper. So setting things right makes a big difference whether or not you can proclaim confidently and boldly that God is with us. Now, that was something that just I'll never forget. It changed a lot. It changed everything in my life as far as just surrendering. And I want to challenge you this morning. There may be some of you that you know God loves you, you know everything, but sometimes you wonder, is God really going to work it out right for me? When you set things right, when you surrender all to God, when you say, Lord, wherever you lead, I will follow. Start leading me. You can proclaim boldly that the Lord is your helper. Because notice in verse 6, in verse 1 through 5 in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, love one another, care for each other. Someone's going through something. It's like you going through it. Make sure you have your marriage honorable. Make sure you set things right. Make sure your conversation is not jealous and covetousness. All of these things. And then verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, God is my helper. Amen? I pray that that you're grasping that there's a relationship between setting things right or having the heart to set things right and how you can boldly proclaim that God is with you. He's helping you. He's with you. Be intentional about doing your part. Be intentional about setting things right. God is with you. Be intentional about doing things right. About living right, about doing right, about setting things right. See, people of substance, they set things right. And as you begin to do all this, you can boldly proclaim with confidence that God is with you. You must be able to say with an honest heart, you're willing to be transformed. You're willing to be perfected. You're willing to confront things in your life that don't line up with His Word. Are you willing? Are you willing? I think this is an important summer. Maybe for one, maybe for a few, maybe for all of us. Amen. To set things right. Because as I started, this world is going to go in chaotic. You know, terrorism is going to be increasing. I don't think anybody doubts that. Where things, you know, you just don't, things are going chaotic in the world, outside of our local area. And God's preparing people of substance to rise up, to truly, by the power of the Holy Spirit, love people and see lives changed. And revival will come out of that. Revival will come out of that. And you know what? We may not get to see the end product of revival. We may. But Moses didn't see the promised land. It's not even about that. Of course, I pray and I believe, Lord, as you begin, I'm talking revival. There are stories that Kathleen will tell you in the days when revival broke out that people were just walking down the city streets and they'd fall and repent. I mean, these things happen when the Bible says, when my people who are called by my name will turn, set things right, in other words, that He'll come and He'll heal the land. Don't you just have a passion and a hunger for that? As we gather in church, that we just feel His presence. Maybe some of you that went to camp, you know, like, wow, that was a presence of God. Well, that's not just where God shows up. Amen? But it takes people who are willing to set things right, consider the cost, and go. Not 90%, but all of it. All of it. If Michelle will come forward and lead us in some song. It's time for us to get in a position to proclaim boldly. You know, when there's a war, people, they set pieces in war. There's different approaches. And I believe we're headed into some battles where souls are on the balance. People that you care for, people that you love, you've been praying for, and their souls in the balance, and chess pieces and war pieces are being put in place so that we can get to a point where we can boldly proclaim that God is with us and God's our helper. Boldly proclaim. And part of setting the battle, part of setting all of that, is for us to set things right. Set things right. Set things right. So I'm going to ask in a few minutes that we respond . Nobody knows your life like you know your life, your heart, your secrets. God knows, but we don't know. And I believe that before this summer ends, there'll be some testimonies on how things were set right and how you turn from style to substance. It's hard. It's hard to surrender all. And that's why Jesus said, consider the cost. But what's not hard is to choose. I know everyone in this place above all wants God in their life more than anything else, and for their children. But it always begins, always has, always will. Revival begins with me, with every soul willing to set things right. God is with you. Set it right. Be the person of substance. So in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to respond to the altar. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by a pastor. It's not by anything, the worship team. It's when a heart surrenders all. Even the secrets in their hearts. And says, that's it. That's it. I'm setting it right. That's when God can come in. And you can proclaim boldly that God is with you. So on the count of three, if this morning the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart saying, set it all right. Not 90%, but all of it. I believe before the summer ends, today's the day for some of you. It's time. It's time. God is preparing us for something bigger than ourselves. And He's going to use you. And He's not intimidated by your faults. He's going to use you. Set it right. In the count of three, I know this is hard. I know there's a spiritual battle going on. But the Bible says He will never leave us nor forsake us. Greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. Do these things so that you may proclaim boldly, God is our helper. The Lord is our helper. So if that's you this morning, just come. One, two, three. Come and take those steps. Thank you. Joseph, if you'll come.